Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. The death of George Floyd last May, when a Minneapolis police officer held a knee on his neck for nearly 9 minutes, and the protests against police brutality that thundered across the country, built energy among Maryland legislators for reforms of the state's policing laws. Today we are zooming into one piece of that agenda, the repeal and replacement of the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights, LEOBR. Maryland enacted this set of job protections and due process requirements for officers accused of misconduct nearly 5 decades ago. Hannah Gaskill, a reporter for the nonprofit news site Maryland Matters, has been closely following the issue of police reform in this legislative session. Hannah Gaskill, welcome to On the Record.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
What protections does the current Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights provide?
Right. So in short, the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights provides due process protections for officers who are facing investigations that could lead to their demotion or dismissal from their agencies. It is in effect for all of the law enforcement agencies across the state and preempts any local disciplinary process.
And what's the background that prompted lawmakers to pursue repeal?
Reform has been bubbling under the surface for years at this point. Senator Jill Carter, who's sponsoring the bill that just passed through the Senate, sponsored a bill in 2015 to alter the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights before the death of Freddie Gray. And the year after, there were alterations made to the bill through a work group package. Last year, Senator Carter and Delegate Gabriel Acevedo made another attempt to repeal the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights through Anton's Law legislation, which is another bill that's on the table this year. But the bill last year was much more comprehensive. So what it would have done is not only repeal the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights, but it would have also made certain police misconduct and disciplinary records available for public inspection. And both of those bills, or that one bill, has been broken down into two bills, both of which passed out of the Senate chamber on Wednesday.
So let's start with the Senate's approach. What does Senate Bill 627 do?
Right. So it completely repeals the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights and puts in a new disciplinary process instead. So rather than trial boards that are afforded under current law, there would be hearing review boards, and they would be composed of largely civilians. There would be more control by the chief over the final disciplinary process, and the way that investigations are run would be altered as well.
Senator Jill Carter, a Democrat representing Baltimore City, sponsored the bill to repeal and replace LEOBR. At a press conference last Friday, she acknowledged that concessions have been made along the way.
If I were a legislator, the lone legislator in the General Assembly, and this were a system of a monarchy, and I were in complete isolation, would I have gone further on some of the bills? Absolutely. But this is a body of diversity, diverse views, and you have to take into account multiple considerations.
Senator Carter ultimately voted for the bill. How far is this version from what she sponsored?
So there have been a lot of amendments pumped into this bill that replicate or mirror things that are existing in the current Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights. Notably, there are protections for officers who would like to politically express themselves off duty. Officers can have formal complaints expunged from their records if they were unsubstantiated or unfounded. And that feeds a lot into the discussion that lawmakers have had about Carter's other bill to allow certain officer disciplinary records to be publicly inspected under the Maryland Public Information Act.
Right. That is what's known as Anton's Law, right? That's named after Anton Black, who was killed in 2018 under the weight of three Caroline County police officers who were arresting him. So what does that part of this package do?
So Anton's Law would allow certain officer misconduct records to be inspected by the public. And that doesn't mean that it's a blanket statement like this record is automatically able to be given to anybody. The custodian of the record would have the discretion to not automatically deny, but circumstantially deny these records to be disclosed.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Maryland Matters reporter Hannah Gaskell, who's covering the General Assembly's attempt this session to revamp the Law Enforcement Officers' Bill of Rights. Last month, Davon Love of the advocacy organization Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle testified in favor of repeal before the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee.
There are a lot of things that have been raised in issues addressing the issue of police reform, things like police training, criminal prosecution of police officers, body cameras. While all these are important, I firmly believe the biggest deterrent to police abuse is the ability for the community to punish those that abuse us. Any industry that is tasked with regulating itself is prone to corruption, and that only when the people who are the recipients of the public good and public safety are given power to actually engage in oversight and discipline can we expect there to be a change.
What other advocates did lawmakers hear from?
So there is a coalition of, I believe it's about 90 different advocacy organizations that has been fairly vocal about their demands as far as police reform goes. And I know the ACLU has been a huge part of that. And they've expressed a lot of frustration at the way that some of these Senate bills ended up being pushed through. Notably, the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights, but there have been issues, I believe, with the use of force policy as well.
Where do things stand on the House side?
In the House, House Speaker Adrian Jones sponsored an omnibus bill that does have a repeal aspect to it, but it also kind of attacks policing from not every, but several different angles, from use of force policies to training and decertification to the repeal. And I don't believe that bill has made it to the House floor yet. I think it's still being worked on in the House Judiciary Committee's Public Safety Subcommittee.
Can you identify the biggest differences between the House approach and the Senate approach?
Right. Well, the Senate has this package that has a bunch of single issue bills, and the House, at least House leadership, is attempting to move through with this one very large piece of legislation. There are other members of the House. Delegate Acevedo comes to mind. Delegate Deborah Davis comes to mind, that are sponsoring their own single issue bills. In Deborah Davis's case, it's a use of force statute. In Delegate Acevedo's case, it's Anton's Law and the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights. But there are several different tactics. And I think the next few months will be interesting to see how this plays out now that the bills from the Senate have moved over to the House.
Well, but aside from the difference in the vehicles of having multiple bills versus one bill, substantively, do you pick up a different approach that members of the House of Delegates are coalescing around compared to what the Senate did?
Well, if you look at the provision to repeal the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights in the House version, during that bill's hearing, Vice Chair Vanessa Atterbury, who chaired the work group that this bill came from, was asked about the disciplinary process as it relates to the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights, should it be repealed. And it seems like it would leave a lot up to each individual department. For example, Atterbury said each department has to create a, quote, open and transparent, end quote, disciplinary process that's published on their website. But it seems like there are limited specifications in what that policy needs to look like.
I really appreciate your walking us through this. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hannah Gaskell covers police reform, politics, and public health for the nonprofit news site Maryland Matters. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have links to her reporting. Short break here. When we're back, the chairman of the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, Will Smith, on what the Senate's version of a replacement for the Law Enforcement Bill of Rights delivers. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Before the General Assembly began its distanced and plexiglassed meetings in January, lawmakers already were crafting their approaches to police reform. Now the legislature is more than halfway through its 90-day session, and the Senate has just taken major action on police reform this week, passing bills that would limit the use of force, expand mental health supports for officers, curtail no-knock warrants, and other measures. One of the key reforms passed, a bill to repeal and replace the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights. Joining me to talk about SB 627 is Senator Will C. Smith, a Democrat representing Montgomery County. He chairs the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always an honor.
What do you see as the most important aspect of what the Senate just voted to do?
Well, I think no single bill, I think, is the most single important aspect. It all works together. But of the more noteworthy pieces of a package, which is inclusive of nine bills, I think would be the Maryland Public Information Act, which is Anton's law, allowing police disciplinary records to be disclosed under the Maryland Public Information Act. As you mentioned, the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights repeal and replace. And then I'd say the sleeper bill in the package would be the body cameras package, part of the package, which is Senator Sidnor's bill, which will require body cameras in all 24 jurisdictions by the year of 2025.
I mean, this bill is the result of hours of debate and compromise. Are you satisfied with where things ended up?
I'm very proud of the package that we're putting forth here. Now, look, it obviously doesn't go enough, and it never would be enough because the work will always continue with police relations. But this is the product of over 6 months of work. We started in the summer with hearings, and then we had additional hearings at the beginning of the session, over 60 hours of voting. And the word compromise is kind of bandied about, but this is legislation that took into account people from all across the state, people from various backgrounds, expertise, impacted communities, academics, experts. And I'm really proud of the comprehensive approach that we put forward, which, by the way, represents the most comprehensive package of police reform that I think we've ever seen in Maryland. And I'm confident that it will save lives and increase the relationship, and transparency and trust between law enforcement and the communities that they serve. So I'm very proud of what we put forward. But I'll always caveat that by saying that we've got much, much more to do.
And yet the State Fraternal Order of Police opposed the bill. Here is FOP lawyer Mike Davey testifying last month.
Please understand that whatever happens in the General Assembly this year, the biggest effect will be on the rank and file members of the law enforcement officers of every police department who come to work every day and put their life on the line. It'll have an effect on them more than anyone else. Senate Bill 627 basically repeals and replaces the current Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights and becomes a statewide policy for disciplining law enforcement officers. I've already heard conversations today that the LEOBR is currently written delays the disciplinary process. That is simply not true. I've broken it down. You can actually, a chief could discipline an officer under the current standard and timelines built into the LEOBR in 20 days.
What have you heard from members of law enforcement?
So the interesting thing about this process, and I knew this was going to happen going into it, is that we were going to engender pushback from a multitude of different actors and stakeholders. And so the second we voted this portion of the package out on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the FOP said that this was too far and it was a terrible bill. And on the other end of the spectrum, certain advocates said, look, we didn't go far enough. And perhaps that's a sign of a good piece of legislation, but I knew that was going to be the case. And once we did our hard work here in committee and just did the right thing for Marylanders. But look, over the summer, from the impacted communities and from people, advocates and people looking to had an eye on reform for a long time, we heard three things. One was, you got to get rid of collective bargaining for the process. Two is, you got to get civilians involved in the process. And three is that you'd have to have a single line of accountability, because right now the way that it's structured is that the responsibility for these disciplinary procedures and action has been dispersed and no one was held accountable. The bill that we put forward does all three. It gets rid of collective bargaining for the administrative process. It provides for two civilians and one law enforcement officer of equal or higher rank on a review board. And it provides for the chief to have power to make the ultimate decision, so you know who to hold accountable. Working in conjunction with Anton's law, we'll now have access to the records to understand how that disciplinary process is working from soup to nuts.
And what about police chiefs? What are you hearing from the chiefs?
Well, police chiefs, I mean, they're, you know, supportive of the Bill 627, the new disciplinary process we put back, pushed back on us a little bit with Anton's law, with the police disciplinary records. They felt that the unsustained or unfounded claims should not be a part of the record. By the way, you know, that's why we kind of try to strike a balance within LEOBR by allowing for the expungement of those unsustained, unfounded, or exonerated records after 3 years. So for 3 years, all records would be kind of discoverable, if you will, under the Maryland Public Information Act, but that officer would have an opportunity after 3 years to expunge, again, unsustained, unfounded, or exonerated records.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Senator Will C. Smith, who chairs the Chamber's Judicial Proceedings Committee. We're talking about the Senate's approach to repealing and replacing the Law Enforcement Officers' Bill of Rights. You mentioned critics who say the Senate's action doesn't go far enough. The Maryland Coalition for Justice and Policy Accountability, which is a collection of 90 entities, including the ACLU of Maryland and the Maryland Office of the Public Defender, took that position. Here's part of what they said in a statement. Quote, SB 627 would only provide civilian participation in an internal police procedure, which is all it is when you add two civilians to a three-person hearing board, as SB 627 is currently amended to do. And the amended version keeps intact the hearing board structure that disincentivizes police chiefs from disciplining police officers, close quote. What about the contention that hearing boards make it less likely a chief will discipline an officer?
Well, the way we structured this is that the hearing board here would have, again, comprised of two civilians and one law enforcement officer, would have a fact-finding ability, and then they would produce a recommendation to the chief. The chief would still have the ultimate responsibility. So I'm not quite understanding the criticism there. But what they were looking for was to have an external civilian review board that would essentially take the role of the chief. And so the civilian review board would then be responsible for the investigation and then the ultimate recommendation and adjudication. So basically the chief, judge, and executioner, if you will. So what that does is it creates a couple of inconsistencies with the initially stated goals. One is that it takes control out of the chief's hands, which you don't have a single node of accountability. Two is that you'd have a patchwork all throughout the state because it made it enabling language. So, you know, Wicomico County would have one process, Montgomery County would have another, and so you get different justice throughout the state of Maryland. One of our goals was to make sure that we had a uniform process all throughout Maryland so that when you are in our state, you understand that you're going to get the same justice in Harford County as you are in Allegheny County. And so I don't quite get that there. Also, just one additional thing with the civilian review board, I voted to keep that in. But I understand the difficulty with those review boards throughout the nation. There are several studies that show that chiefs and mayors and executives grow frustrated with that model because they can't exercise their ability to discipline officers or remove people that they view as kind of problem cogs within the department. And so there's a balancing act that goes on. No one solution is perfect. And so, you know, I would just encourage your listeners to dig down and do the research on this, because it's something that sounds great up front. Once you dig in a little bit, you've got to balance things. So you know, I understand their angst and their anger, and I get it. You know, I'm a Black man, and I've experienced this through my family experiences and through the history of my family. So I understand where folks are coming from. And I hope that folks know that we worked in earnest to do our level best to make the reform that was possible within the confines of the legislative process. And we've done our level best, and I'm extremely proud of the work we've done. Again, I say this again and again, the work remains to be, there's so much more work remains to be done. The work continues, and we'll continue that fight throughout the rest of the session and next year.
We recently interviewed Baltimore Sun reporter Justin Fenton about the Gun Trace Task Force scandal, in which city police officers planted evidence, lied about overtime hours, falsified police reports, illegally searched citizens, much more. Very infuriating to read about how for years citizen complaints and internal misconduct investigations against these officers never went anywhere. What changes does the Senate bill make to prevent that kind of thing from happening?
Well, I think the two things that come to my mind initially. One is obviously the transparency piece, which is Anton's law. That will allow for those complaints to be opened up through the MPIA process so that the public interested parties, oversight entities can look in and see if a certain officer has multiple complaints and if there's a pattern of misconduct that hasn't been corrected. So that's the number one thing. Two is that in our use of force package, in our use of force bill, not only do we create a uniform use of force standard throughout the state, but part of that was a duty to intervene and a duty to report. And we racked up criminal penalties if you fail to do that. So if you are an officer and you have witnessed some sort of misconduct by a fellow officer and you fail to report that in a timely manner, you're subject to up to 10 years in prison. Same thing for duty to intervene. And so working together, again, the package works together. I think we've come up with a very comprehensive approach to incentivizing certain conduct, but then also shining that light on those records so that we as members of the public can ensure that the right thing is being done by our law enforcement officers.
So SB 627 passed on a vote of 33-14. What happens next?
So the entire package passed out of the Senate earlier Wednesday. So it heads over to the House Judiciary Committee, where the Speaker has a bill, an omnibus piece of legislation that is the product of their work group that was chaired by Delegate Vanessa Atterbury. And they'll go to work on our bill and they'll go to work on their bill. And I assume that we'll have a conference committee in the next couple of weeks here to hammer out the differences between the two packages.
All of these different reforms, mandating body-worn cameras, curtailing no-knock warrants, replacing LEOBR, how will you assess if these reforms are working?
Well, I think with the body cameras, that's fairly simple. I mean, we'll see every, you know, for the three jurisdictions right now in Maryland that have them, it's Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and Montgomery County. They've been tremendously successful, and officers, law enforcement officers like them, members of the public like them, we're able to get information, and we're able to have better evidence as we move forward. So I think that's a quick one to understand how impactful that will be once implemented. For the MPIA, you'll know immediately once we start gaining information about certain patterns of conduct or misconduct, rather. We'll be able to have that information at the ready if and when this goes into effect. For the other things, it's going to be, including independent investigations, the use of force, law enforcement officers' bill of rights. These are more processes that will take some time to ferret out if they're working. Once the new disciplinary process is in place, we'll have to see how it works. And I think the MPIA bill will help us, but it'll take some time to understand and fully realize the impact of a number of these measures.
Thanks for talking to us about it.
Hey, thanks a lot. It was always a pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
Will C. Smith represents Montgomery County in the Maryland State Senate and chairs the Judicial Proceedings Committee. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we have links to more coverage of the repeal of LEOBR and other police reform measures in the legislature. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.